on a Friday, live from the Circa Sportsbook. It is the nightcap here on VSiN. Jeff Parles, Tim Murray. Did you know Jeff left David Cohn's perfect game?
I'm never gonna be forgetting that anymore.
No.
Every time I'm in with you, Tim, that's gonna be the first time. First thing you say every show.
Pretty much.
And quite frankly, it should be.
Joe Musgrove throws a no-hitter tonight, the first in Padres history, the 8,206th game in Padres history, and the first no-hitter. 10 strikeouts, 9 innings, no hits, no walks, one-hit batter. A terrific performance from Joe Musgrove as the Padres shut out and no-hit the Texas Rangers this evening by a final of 3-0. Cover watch. Houston Rockets, ladies and gentlemen, they have outscored the Los Angeles Clippers by 26 in the first, third, and fourth quarter. What did they do in the second quarter? They were outscored by 31. 100-93, the score right now in Los Angeles with the Rockets leading, the Clippers leading the Rockets. That game went off 11. And as you see, the in-game spread at 10. So with 8:18 to go in the fourth quarter, Clippers leading the Rockets 100-93. The Golden State Warriors have regained the lead over the Washington Wizards as they have outscored the Wizards by 10 in the fourth quarter here, Jeff. This was a astronomical total of 240. And now look at the in-game, 216.5 at DraftKings. For the Wizards and Warriors. Yes, Russell Westbrook does have a triple-double, though. 17 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists, 7 triple-doubles in 18 games. Minus 152 is what you had to lay for Russell Westbrook to get a triple-double. As crazy as that sounds, it was that easy. He gets another triple-double.
Again, it's automatic. It really is automatic at this point for Westbrook. I do like that minus 1,000
on the double-double.
Which it might be even more of a slam dunk. But, yeah, look, the only saving grace that I would say if you have an over ticket right now, it's a one-point game with under 5 minutes to go. You could very easily get overtime and get some chicanery to get that over. But that's, again, you need a lot to happen to even get close to that 240.
I'm just counting. I believe it is 15 straight games that Russell Westbrook has gotten a double-double, and I want to say about like 29 out of the last 30. So there's a reason that it's minus 1,000 for him. The last time he didn't get a double-double, Friday, March 12th against the Sixers, he had 25, 8-5 in that game, but yeah, he's a pretty good bet to get a double-double and a pretty good bet to get a triple-double as it is now 7 of the last 8 games for Russell Westbrook. But the Wizards are, they have regained the lead. They lead by 1. So this, as we kind of expected, this would be a fun game, and I didn't want to touch it betting-wise, but ultimately it has been an entertaining game nonetheless, 96-95. The under, like you said, is likely going to hit unless we hit overtime, which is what we had a couple nights ago in a similar situation when we had overtime in a late night game with a high total. I'm trying, my brain is blanking on what game that was, but we had Jazz and Suns. Jazz and Suns was a total under game, overtime hits, 26 points in overtime, boom, they over.
Yeah, that's never fun when you lose a total in overtime.
No,
never fun.
It is. It is not. It's never under until it's over. So,
yes.
Brady Cannon's going to join us here in just a little bit. Get an update on the Masters. How are his pre-tournament bets going? What does he have going into the weekend? Brady will be on a handful of shows over the weekend, getting us prepared for the final 2 days of the Masters. Your baseball action wrapping up. By the way, maybe the most fun team in baseball, the Cincinnati Reds, 5-0. This is a 5-1 baseball team, won 5 straight here, Jeff. And the Cincinnati Reds in Arizona tonight, up 5-0.
And scoring a ton of runs in the process, Tim.
Yes, they are. Little Masters talk coming up in just a moment. Stick around. It is the nightcap here on VSiN, wrapping things up. Well, not wrapping things up. Still have another hour to go, but it's the final hour here. Jeff Parles, Tim Murray with you live from the Circus Sportsbook. It's been a adventurous night as we come in. We find out that Jeff left a perfect game. We watch a no-hitter. We've got a got going on. Jeff also hits a five-leg money line parlay. So other than me, you know, ragging on him about leaving David Cone's perfect game, other than that, it's been a good night.
Hey, well, again, I kept that story close to the vest
should've
for a long time.
Me.
I guess I should have. I guess I should have lied and just said, "Oh, it was at Cone's perfect game."
You wouldn't
have fact checked that.
Call your pops? let's bring in Brady Cannon though. Already up on VSiN.com, updating betting guide. Brady and Wes have been working tirelessly to get you the most updated information on the Masters. And Brady, here we are heading into round number three. A lot of big names were cut. We'll get to those in just a little bit, but the back nine for Justin Rose today, it looked like, okay, here he's going to fall off, really struggle on the front nine, but a tremendous back nine yet again. Maybe not as good as what we saw on Thursday, but heading into the weekend, what's your feel on Justin Rose being the first wire-to-wire Masters winner since Jordan Spieth did it a handful of years ago?
Yeah, guys, good to be with you, man. Happy Friday to you. Happy Masters Friday. Yeah. Heading into moving day, it's absolutely exciting. And, boy, I tell you, this golf course, you know, we got the November version, and it felt watered down. We're getting the real Masters right now. I mean, it is tough. And then, you know, day one was really tough. And then today, some guys came back and made some numbers. And you talk about Justin Rose. You know, we all felt that the regression was, you know, an absolute probability after shooting a career low round, 65, on Thursday. You felt he was going to come back to the pack, and he started out, you know, he got to 3 over par. But you talk about it, Tim, really came back strong and was able to salvage an even par round and still holds the lead. And to answer your question, I don't think he's going to win it. You know, the history is kind of against him. 40-year-olds don't win this. You know, and Justin Rose is one of the greatest guys on tour as far as, you know, a personality. He's really a super guy. And you may have seen the interview with Scott Van Pelt after Thursday's round, and you could tell what a classy person he is. But I think there may be too many competitors that are close now. He had a 4-stroke lead after day one, and history would tell you that even though that position was advantageous, it typically doesn't work out. He was the third guy in Masters history to have a 4-shot lead after round one, and none of the two prior have gone on to win. And Rose has been in awful form. I mean, he made a 9 on a hole at Bay Hill a month ago and had to withdraw, missed the Players' Championship. I mean, he was not even on my radar to win this thing. And then he comes out guns a-blazing. I think eventually it's going to catch up, and I just don't expect him to win. I really think, and it's typically what happens in the Masters, this tournament just seems to cater to the cream rising to the top, more so maybe than any other major. And I think you're going to see what's really interesting. Two boyhood friends. I think you're going to see Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth contend for this thing down the stretch.
Brady, you led me right into my next.
Which, by the
question.
Way,
yeah.
I would. That would work for me.
Wouldn't that be the best? How cool would that be?
Well, it would work for if Justin Thomas found a way to win. It would work for both of us, wild-wise.
I mean, yes,
I'd be very.
I got Jordan Spieth too. So
yeah. So Brady, I want to ask you about Spieth because. I brought this up to Tim yesterday. He really is starting to feel even more so recently back in form that he's now the right-handed Phil Mickelson for good. This is what Jordan Spieth is. And Brady, he'd be the first player ever to win this tournament with a triple bogey within the tournament. And Brady, he feels like the rightful favorite right now, though, at 4-1.
Yeah. The odds are really tough on him or Justin Thomas. Mm-hmm. Spieth at roughly 4-1, Thomas at roughly 5-1. I do have pre-flop on Thomas at 15-1, 18-1, and 19-1.
Ooh, nice.
And I feel pretty good about that. I mean, Justin Thomas, if you look at that leaderboard right now, Justin Thomas is clearly the best player in the world in the, you know, top 10 or 15 guys on that leaderboard. And I think he's going to make a run. And I actually kind of like the fact that he bogeyed the 18th hole today, because we saw it with Justin Rose. When you shoot a career low round, you typically come back the next day. So the fact that Thomas kind of left a sour taste in his mouth with a bogey at the 18th, I think that drives him into Saturday and maybe takes him off that pedestal a little bit, and he can shoot another good round, maybe a 68, something like that, get himself in position for Sunday. I expect Spieth to do the same. If you're looking at value bets, you look at the young gun, Will Zalatoris, basically fresh off the Korn Ferry Tour. I mean, not a lot of people know about Will Zalatoris. He played in maybe five or six tour events at the very end of 2020, and he's been outstanding. Doesn't have a PGA Tour win yet to his credit. I mean, he's so young. And you guys know, a debutant has not won this tournament since 1979. Even though he's really the value play, I just don't know if, you know, history is against him, and I don't know if he can go on. I mean, you think about it, you guys. If you're coming down the stretch on Sunday and you've never won in your life on the PGA Tour, are you going to win the Masters? That's pretty crazy. Those lesser-name guys are probably the value bets right now. Will Zalatoris, Brian Harman, you know, Mark Leishman. Those are probably the value bets, but I really think it's probably going to be more of the chalk. The Masters is typically a chalky tournament, and I think you're, you know, Justin Rose, I imagine, will stick around. You're probably looking at Rose, Thomas, and Spieth down the stretch, and maybe a couple of outliers like a Harman or a Zalatoris sticking around. But eventually, I think it may come down to JT and Spieth.
We're chatting with Brady Cannon, who, of course, is the co-host of The Long Shots, which you catch each and every week. A great show this past week with Scott Van Pelt. A part of it, and you'll catch him tomorrow on the Green Zone, which is fitting with the Masters, making sense there, and then on Sunday as well on Bet Center. So he and Wes Reynolds will be breaking this thing down each and every possible way, and already updated, I was just reading through it, updated thoughts on what to expect in the third round at VSiN.com. Yeah, looking at the, I just have Westgate pulled up. I mean, odds are going to be similar, but yeah, Leishman right now at 25-1. You're looking at Zalatoris 12-1, Harman 12-1. What has stood out to you about Zalatoris? Because to your point, he is a name that it doesn't, you know, you know Justin Rose, you know Spieth, you know Leishman, you know Matsuyama. You're just looking at the leaderboard. Zalatoris is one that jumps, and you could have got him at 153-1. Earlier this week here at Circa, Brady, and he was unbelievable. Three birdies to wrap up his round today. What has stood out about Zalatoris's game so far, and what is sustainable about his game heading into the weekend?
Well, he's a tremendous ball striker, and the Masters has really become a ball striker event. Back in the day, it was a long bombers tournament because the fairways are so wide and the rough is not too thick. You know, the guys that hit it really long could win this thing. And in 2008, after Tiger destroyed the place, you know, in 1997 and set a record for the scoring mark, they you know, quote unquote, Tiger proofed the course. And it has become much more of a second shot golf course and a ball strikers, you know, greens and regulation type situation rather than the bombers just dominating this thing. And Will Zalatoris is absolutely a ball striker that hits great greens and regulation. Now, the weak part of his game is probably the short game and the putting and whatnot. And obviously he's been outstanding the first 2 days. I would expect that to regress a little bit. And again, just the fact that he is a Masters rookie, I think that's eventually going to catch up to him. I mean, if Will Zalatoris wins this thing, that it would be incredible. And I just don't think it's going to happen. This usually goes to, I mean, guys with less experience have, you know, we go a ways back, and it used to take about six rounds at the Masters before you entered into the winner's circle. This course needs experience. You need to learn how this place plays, the nuance of the greens and the chipping and everything around the greens, the creativity. It's so different than anything you've ever faced before. So it takes a few laps around this course to get used to it. And now in recent years, it's taken less, you know, laps around the course to do that, because I think players are better in this day and age and they figure it out quicker. But to do it in your first time, I think the odds are against Will Zalatoris, even though he's maybe the best bet on the board right now. I mean, he's what, 12-1 and yeah, only one shot back. But, you know, like I say, I think the cream is going to rise once again. Even Tony Finau, I think, is a pretty good bet right now. But obviously, Jordan Spieth is an absolute Masters specialist. This guy has, there is nobody in the world that has a better strokes gained record in his 28, now 30 rounds at the Masters than Jordan Spieth. So we know this guy knows this course as well as anybody on the leaderboard right now. And I think Justin Thomas, you could argue, like I said earlier, is probably the best player in the world and is an absolute ball striker and strokes gained approach specialist. So, you know, it's hard for me to take a value bet on one of these guys right now,
yeah,
that I don't think is going to win it.
Brady, obviously, round three matchups are now populating the space now. Anything stand out to you on the first glance for these round three matchups?
Well, I tell you what. Do you have any in front of you? Because let me punch up my.
Sure, I can give you one right out of the gate here, and you bring up Tony Finau, who's coming off a great round against Hideki Matsuyama, who came back a little bit after. A great putting day in round one. Finau -125 against Matsuyama, who's +105. Brady.
Yeah, now I see that one. Boy, that's a tough one. I would probably lean a little bit with the dog there. I don't know. I think basically those guys are even, and so I don't necessarily want to lay 125 with the favorite there, whether it was Matsuyama or Finau. I think that looks like more of a pick'em matchup to me. I'm looking at one here, Corey Connors and Cameron Champ. Corey Connors, a heavy favorite there over Champ. I might take the favorite there with Corey Connors. Cameron Champ, you know, he's very young in his PGA Tour career and shot a tremendous round today. He may regress a little bit on Saturday. You've got Cameron Smith against Ryan Palmer, I see. That's a really good matchup. Palmer's another guy. I mean, he's five shots off the pace. But if you really want a big price, maybe Palmer could be a guy that you take. I don't know what his number is. It's probably in the neighborhood of 50-1. But Ryan Palmer is a very good player, a veteran player, and veteran players with experience tend to win the Masters. He's maybe a guy to look at and maybe a guy to take it, you know, in the neighborhood of +120 in that matchup over Cameron Smith. I also see Justin Rose and Mark Leishman in a matchup. And then you have Justin Thomas against Jordan Spieth. Thomas a favorite there. What do you think, Jeff? I know you bet a lot of golf. Justin Thomas against Jordan Spieth. -125 on Thomas. Which way are you going there?
That would be a absolute no play for me, Brady. But if you made me bet it, I would. Again, I think Jordan Spieth's going to win this tournament at this point, so I would take.
Oh, you
the
do?
Play. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I just the way that Spieth is playing right now, and like you said, he's built for this course. He's won there, obviously. So +105 on Spieth would be the.
Well,
play.
Let me ask you too, and Brady, I'll start with you. We got about 2 minutes here. You mentioned Zalatoris, and just an incredible finish. He is he's -150 here at Circa against Mark Leishman, who's +130. Would you look at the dog a little bit in that spot, Brady?
I would. I absolutely. You just have to feel that Zalatoris is going to come back at some point. And Leishman is really a horse for this course. I mean, Mark Leishman goes in and out of form quite often in the last couple, 3 years. but he has always done well here at Augusta. I had a ticket on him at 80-1 a couple years ago when Patrick Reed won, and Leishman, I believe, was the 36-hole leader, if I recall. He eventually faded and, you know, finished, I want to say, top 10 that year, but he's had a number of good performances here at the Masters. I mean, that's a juicy price, Tim. Plus 135, I believe you said. And again, with Zalatoris, you just have to believe that that rookie factor is going to come into effect eventually. It's hard to go around this course four rounds and just continue to kill it, especially under these conditions. We go back to November, and we saw Cameron Smith shoot four rounds in the 60s in a soft, very receptive course. This is a very different version. This is your traditional April version of the Masters. So, yeah, I'd be wanting to fade Zalatoris probably in that matchup with a very juicy price.
Yeah, and I just made that bet on air, so I'm in on Leishman tomorrow. Brady, great stuff, man. And if you like some Brady Cannon, guess what? Plenty of Brady Cannon Saturday, Sunday, the Green Zone tomorrow, Bet Center on Sunday. Check out his written work, VSiN.com. It is an incredible weekend, and Brady, enjoy it, man. We'll be watching and listening.
Appreciate you having me. I love the nightcap, the night handicap. It's awesome.
There he is, Brady Cannon. Follow him on Twitter at Las Vegas Golfer. That's Jeff Parles. I'm Tim Murray. The Wizards and Warriors. How about a crazy ending out in the Bay? Tell you what happened next right here on the Nightcap. There's no luxury of time. So instead of waiting for people to see your sponsored post, invite them to apply more at Indeed.com/credit. Jeff Parles, Tim Murray with you. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. Last night we had the one half of long shots in Wes Reynolds. Tonight it was Brady Cannon. Yesterday I was, and look, I'm not, this isn't me throwing Wes under the bus. I would have faded the leader regardless, but I rolled with Tyrrell Hatton today in a matchup against Justin Rose. Started off positive, did not end so well, as Justin Rose ended up winning all his matchups. I think that the ones that we saw in town, Shane Lowry was up against him at the Superbook, and I played the one here at Circa, which was Tyrrell Hatton, and he beat both of them. But talking to Brady and even Banksy, who's a big golf guy, and I think you're kind of trending this way too, at plus 130, I'm in on Mark Leishman to have a better day tomorrow against Zalatoris. And I think fading a guy who has never played the Masters before, who is six under, now it's moving day. I think, and to quote Brady, you know, Leishman's a horse for the course. So at plus 130, I'll take it.
Yeah, again, the one concern with Leishman, he's just so wildly inconsistent now, and he can fall out of turn pretty quickly. But look, at some point, like we said, Fuzzy Zeller was the last guy to win the Masters in his debut appearance. With the way that people are up on the stars are up on the leaderboard here, I have a tough time seeing Zalatoris stay in, and especially if Spieth and Thomas go out and earlier than Zalatoris and are tied or ahead of him when he takes the golf course, I would anticipate that Zalatoris takes the step back. So I think I am going to follow you, even with my reservations about Mark Leishman.
And Zalatoris will be in the final group.
Yes, he will.
He'll be with Justin Rose tomorrow. So there could be some roars of the crowd. The Leishman will be with Harmon tomorrow in the second-to-last group, and Spieth will be out there at 11 a.m. Eastern with Weisberger. All right.
Bernd Weisberger. Yeah. Hey, look, Weisberger had a great round today, and he was in the newer jurisdictions. He was a plus price top 40.
Wow.
Weisberger. So you're sitting pretty if you took one of those.
He was 576-1 to win here at Circa.
Number.
576-1. These were the big board sheet. So it moved a little bit as we got closer, but Zalatoris at circa 153-1, Justin Rose 124-1, Harmon 114-1. So you're just looking up and down what these prices are of some of these names. Leishman 166-1. There were some, to quote the name of the show that airs each and every week here on this network, there were a lot of long shots that are in striking distance here, but there are also the two guys that are the favorites right now, as you see, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, they were, you know, Spieth was, I think, second on the board, and Thomas was high up there as well. So we will see how the weekend shakes out. We got to get in because everybody's been dying to know, well, what happened in the Warriors-Wizards game? Well, I'm glad you asked because this game was wild. You and I are keeping an eye on it while talking to Brady about the Masters, which is certainly much more important than the Wizards and Warriors. But I said last night this will be an entertaining game. I did not want to bet it, but it would be entertaining. The under hits easily, 217 the total in this one. But what a crazy finish in this one. I don't know if you caught it a little bit more than I did. It was 107-104. Steph Curry had a couple free throws. The Wizards come down. It was a double team on Bradley Beal. He kicks to Russell Westbrook. Obviously, he misses the three. It's a long rebound. Bradley Beal chases it down, grabs it, Jeff, puts up a three, and here comes Andrew Wiggins. What was he doing?
I don't know what Wiggins was trying to accomplish on the play. Naturally, he drilled him in the back of the head. Beal makes the three, gets fouled, makes the free throw, four-point play, and if you're holding the Golden State money line ticket, you end up being a tough luck loser here. 110-107. Golden State had a possession after that where they did not even get a shot off because I'm not sure what Damian Lee was attempting to do.
He was at the rim.
It was very bizarre.
There was a defender in his. He was at the rim, Jeff, and he just passed it away.
Yeah, to no one. To no one. It was very bizarre.
So the Wizards making things interesting. Late night, 110-107, the final score. The Wizards, an outright winner as a 4.5-point dog. The final NBA game on the board in the book. So get you your treats and beats. Quite a treatful evening in the state of Texas. We'll tell you why next, right here on the Nightcap. Masters Week tomorrow, moving day. No one has better golf betting coverage than VSiN. I was just reading through it on VSiN.com. Updated stuff already from Brady Cannon. Subscribers, they have access to all of that coverage on VSiN.com. Current odds, analysis of the key golfers, picks from our experts. It's the first major of the year. Our golf team is in mid-season form. No surprise there. Make sure you start your VSiN free trial today to keep up with all of the action, including daily email updates on betting options for each round, 24/7 video coverage, full access to our coverage on VSiN.com, picks from every one of our experts. Sign up now, VSiN.com/subscribe. Tim Murray, Jeff Parles with you. Jeff, he'll be back tomorrow, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific, 9 to midnight Eastern time. So these late night hours, I mean, it's just...
It's normal.
Par of the course.
Yeah,
and maybe you'll see another no-hitter tomorrow.
Probably now. Again, I was telling you this yesterday. Greg and I have been on together, Greg Peterson, that is, who will host with me again tomorrow night. Through this month, plus, we've just gotten so lucky with the games that have been on. I mean, we got all the great NCAA tournament finishes, including Suggs's heave.
Oh, my gosh.
Last Saturday night, and now a no-hitter. And, again, a win for everyone, where I get to embarrass myself with a story about six-year-old me from earlier. So that's a win for everyone, except for me.
All the NBA games are completed on the board. Vegas, the VGK, Golden Knights down at T-Mobile. I believe this game
that is final now.
It has gone final. 7-4 A couple of safeties and a touchdown. VGK gets the win at 7-4. I think while Banksy was in here looking at the VGK game, I think they scored two or three goals in the first like 2 minutes of the game. The over sails. The total was 5.5, and you get 11 goals in this one. And on the puck line, VGK was some plus money, plus 109 here, plus 110 in other spots. So VGK comes home with a 7-4 win. One game left. It is San Jose up 3-2 on the LA Kings right now. That one early in the third period. Jeff, this we'll move it back a segment because we were talking about the conclusion of Wizards and Warriors. But this is called Treats and Beats. And, man, I'll get to my treat in just a moment. But for you,
yeah,
my brother, five-leg money line parlay, and you needed those money lines for a good chunk of these.
Yeah, the square deal comes through for me. Indiana, they did not cover, but they won outright.
Boom.
So that works. Celtics, they did cover in overtime, an 8.5-point spread. But, again, much easier to win that game outright. Go ahead. That works. The Nuggets did not cover. They win by two against San Antonio. That was the final leg. And then on the ice, your Washington Capitals win 4-3 against the Sabres. No puck line cover for them. And then the Penguins 6-4 over New Jersey. So five legs, about plus 385 for me. And a nice little walk into the weekend.
There you go. That's all you can ask for. And that San Antonio-Denver game truly did come down to the wire. A couple point-blank shots missed from the San Antonio Spurs. Nuggets get the win, 121-119. And as Huey Lewis in the news told us in 1986, sometimes it's hip to be square, my friend.
Hey, look, when it wins, it's absolutely perfect. And look, I mean, our compatriot Gil Alexander, an advocate of the money line parlay with the favorites. And look, especially this time of year where we're getting close to the end for both the NHL and the NBA, and there are a bunch of hockey teams that know they're not going anywhere this year. New Jersey and Buffalo are two of them. That's why Washington and Pittsburgh was in there. And then JVT said fade San Antonio going forward last night. So
he sure
did. There you go. And Minnesota's terrible, and so is Orlando. So I don't have a problem with stringing together a whole bunch of money line favorites against these bad teams this last month of the season, both the NHL and the NBA.
No. You know, it's always painful when you look at your 4 or 5 leg money line parlay. You're like, who's going to mess this up for me? And but it is nice when it comes home. You know, sometimes you bet a money line parlay and then the reigning 2-time MVP is ruled out. And that's a bit of an issue. That's what happened to me earlier this week. But I don't want to relive terrible memories. I just want to look ahead to the treat of the night, which was a no-hitter.
Yes.
And I know at times we get a lot of them, and you and I think, are one of the few people around our age that are true baseball fans. Aaron Oster, our producer, big baseball guy. Both Aaron and I called games in minor league baseball for a handful of years before getting into the talk radio sphere full-time. But Joe Musgrove tonight dealt an absolute thing of beauty.
Oh, yes.
You see some of these no-hitters. And that's why no-hitters sometimes fall under the radar. You get some relievers in there, get a lot of walks, you get a couple errors, maybe even a run. This was almost perfection. One-hit batter in the fourth inning, 10 strikeouts, 10 ground balls. It was a beautiful pitched game, beautifully pitched game from Joe Musgrove as the San Diego Padres win it. And what also makes this an extra treat is not only was it a no-hitter, but for the team that accomplished said no-hitter, the San Diego Padres, the franchise had played 8,205 games in its history entering today. Today was 8,206. They had no no-hitters. Now they have one as Joe Musgrove brings it home. They no-hit the Texas Rangers down in Arlington tonight, and Joe Musgrove, the man, what a performance tonight.
Yeah, and again, he was the third leg of the starting pitchers that was added this offseason for San Diego. Obviously, all the eyeballs, and properly so, going to Yu Darvish and going to Blake Snell, but that is a fleece that San Diego did to Pittsburgh, and it's already paying off dividends a week into the season. And look, the Padres are the second favorite right now in the NL, the third favorite in the World Series markets, just behind the Dodgers and the Yankees still. for a reason. They have a great pitching staff, and when your number three guy is throwing what may be the best pitching performance from anyone this year, you're in pretty good shape with your staff.
I'll give you a treat and a beat in the same game. The treat has nothing to do betting related. Jason Tatum put a 50-burger
yes.
on the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight. Now, terrible defense, but still, 50 is 50. The most points scored by a Celtic since Larry Bird had 60 in 1985. So quite the performance. But the beat comes in the ultimate overtime is where dogs go to die. The Timberwolves were an 8.5-point dog tonight, folks. They forced overtime against the Celtics. They lost 145-136.
What makes that even more painful, Tim? Timberwolves went on an 11-0 run to end regulation to get the game to overtime. All you had to do was not have D'Angelo Russell bank in a three at the end, and you would have covered.
Overtime, where dogs go to die, and that's where it went tonight with the Timberwolves. We turn the page to Saturday, look at some NBA games and the Masters next on the Nightcap. Week's episode of the Ron Flatter Racing Pod centers on the last major prep for the Kentucky Derby. That is this weekend's Arkansas Derby. Guests include Concert Tour's trainer Bob Baffert, Las Vegas Review Journal turf writer Mike Brunkner, plus handicapping from Johnny Avella of DraftKings Sportsbook. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod available now at VSiN.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts. It's sponsored by First Bet. We're wrapping things up here on the Nightcap. We still have a baseball game on the board. The Diamondbacks making it a little interesting against the Cincinnati Reds, the most exciting team in baseball. 5-1 Cincinnati Reds. They have just tied it up 5-5 in the bottom of the eighth inning.
And that's going to be a pretty brutal beat for the under. A 5-0 game looking like a dead under, and I believe that closed at 10.5. So that game is going over.
Closed 9.5.
9.5. So it's already over anyway. They're at 5-5 in the bottom of the eighth. So a good quality winner if you had the over, and just a miserable loss, but not a fun one if you had the under.
No. And as we've talked about, and you brought up yesterday, totals, man, just stick to the first five.
At least if you like unders, at least.
Yeah.
Even though, again, I'm still salty about losing that Angels Blue Jays one earlier today. Still salty about that.
Gamblers are like coaches, man. You always remember the losses, never the wins.
Yeah,
this guy brought him a five-leg money line parlay.
I'll forget that parlay by tomorrow.
He's 100%. He's miserable about a first five under. He went 1-1-1. He's reminded me a couple of times. He also left David Cone's perfect game.
Yes.
San Jose, the final hockey game on the board. They're up 3-2. That went midway through the third period. But we always like to turn the page to wrap things up, look ahead to tomorrow. And we talked to Brady Cannon earlier in this hour. Once again, Brady will be on the network tomorrow with Wes on the Green Zone, keeping tabs on all things Masters. And Brady already with updated work on VSiN.com for the Masters as well. Jeff, we talked about a play, and we'll just go through a couple matchups. I'll pull up the Circa app. You've got the Westgate app. Certainly there are other spots where you can fire away on matchups. But one that I tweeted about, I've played, I think you're interested about it too. Mark Leishman going up against Zalatoris and +130. I'm gonna take the dog here. Zalatoris was tremendous. Like you said, Leishman's already down to +125, so you're starting to see a little bit of backing on the dog here. So Zalatoris now at -$1.45. I'll read off some plays, some matchups for Circa, see if anything jumps to you. We've got Rose and Harmon. As you see the leaderboard right there, Rose and Harmon in a matchup at Circa. Harmon -115, Rose -105. Spieth and Finau, You like Spieth to win this. He's minus $1.18 against Finau. And Finau played extremely well down the stretch today, too. Wiesberger against Thomas. This is the most lopsided matchup of the day. Thomas is minus $2.40.
Yeah, I would love to take a shot on our old friend Berndt, but I just can't do that, Tim. I do agree with what Brady Cannon said earlier. This really does have the feel of Jordan Spieth and JT mano a mano down the stretch on Sunday. That's what this feels like at this point, which would make you happy because you can't lose if that's the case, Tim.
I would be incredibly happy. I have you talked about your square five-leg money line parlay. I listen to smart people when it comes to golf. I listen to Matt Eumanns. I listen to Brady Cannon. I listen to Wes Reynolds. We had Steve Sands on, Jonathan Coach. Smart people. And then I just aggregate it and make my decisions. And I know that Spieth was the ultimate square play. He was 60-1, the closing. I played Spieth. I got him, I think, at 1350 to win it. And then I played him to be top 10 at plus 155. And then I just really, from what I was hearing and the homework that I did, I really liked the way JT was setting up going into this. I think Van Pelt, when he joined the long shots, even joked, he's like, I always pick JT. I pick him in everything. They're close, but he felt like this was a good spot. Steve Sands kind of reiterated that. So I took JT, I think at plus 1150 to win it. So late to the party. And then I took him top 10 as well. So yes, if it's Spieth and Thomas in the final group on Sunday, I hopefully will be sitting back with a beer in my hand with a big old smile on my face, because that would be a good situation for me to be in come Sunday. So hopefully that is the case for me. Matsuyama against Champ. Matsuyama at a minus $1.45. Cameron Champ sitting there at 4 under. It sounded like, if memory serves me, I know it was earlier this hour, shouldn't be so crazy, but it sounded like Brady kind of liked the dog in this matchup a little, in well, Champ. Or he liked a Westgate matchup.
So,
right?
So he there were two, actually, that we brought up. Finau and Matsuyama. Finau minus 125 against Matsuyama's plus 105. Brady gave a lean to Matsuyama. The one that he liked, he actually liked laying a price with Corey Connors, the Canadian, against Cameron Champ. Mm. Minus 135 on Connors against Champ. Again, this is one of the first few go-rounds in Augusta for Cameron Champ, and very early into his PGA career. So that was the cap there from Brady on Connors minus 135. The interesting one, I will say, that I kind of like, and Brady brought it up, is Ryan Palmer is someone who could be, if you want to just take a total dart on a long shot, Palmer would be the guy. I kind of like Palmer against Cameron Smith plus 115 tomorrow. And I know Cameron Smith has played very well on this golf course. Obviously, last year is a lot different, but Smith had a great round today. But Ryan Palmer is just rock solid, and the conditions are going to get a little more difficult as we go along here. I'm intrigued to see how Smith, who's only played this course once before in the traditional April setting like it is now, I like Palmer in that matchup at plus 115 tomorrow against Cam Smith.
Well, let me bring up another matchup, this one here at Circa. It includes Ryan Palmer, same price, plus $1.15. But it's against the guy that you think maybe has some value to win the tournament in Colin Morikawa.
Yeah, that's tough.
Plus $1.15 Palmer, minus $1.35 for Morikawa. They are not in the same group, but they'll tee off right around the same time tomorrow in the early afternoon. Palmer shot a 68 today. Morikawa shot a 69. Morikawa's scorecard was crazy.
Yes, it was.
It was 7 birdies and 5 bogeys today. Is that right? 1, 2, 3. Yeah, 7 and 5. 7 and 4, excuse me, because he shot a 69.
The Christmas tree card for
So that would be a pass, though, for you?
I don't like betting against Colin Morikawa unless if it is a scenario where he is just completely out of form, and that's not the case. And the one dangerous thing with Morikawa is if he's making putts, there are maybe 2 guys in the world that are better than him at this point. So if he's making putts, that's one of those that could go south pretty quickly. So that's a pretty good line. I would stay off of that.
All right. And Just rounding down circa here, Bubba Watson, John Rahm, Watson plus 180, Rahm minus 210 in that one. S.W. Kim plus 140 against Xander. I know Banksy was high on S.W. Kim. He was impressed by his putting capabilities with a three-wood.
Yeah, no, again, Siwoo breaking his putter on 15 and then par with the three-wood. Pretty darn good, all things considered. I'd probably stay off of that. Just looking at other matchups at the Westgate, one that's interesting is Rahm versus DeChambeau, minus 115 on Rahm, minus 105 on Bryson. Bryson found himself today.
I know, I'm not happy about that.
Yeah, which you had a nice little ticket on the miss the cut. You have him in a matchup.
I have him in a matchup. I was hoping he would miss the cut.
You don't make it easy.
I have Xander in a matchup. I feel okay about it, but you know, if you missed the cut, it would be done. I'd get my money right now at plus 127. So it might be a little weekend sweat for a tournament matchup there with Xander against Bryson. So anything else looking like a play for you? Once again, Leishman has already been a play for me at plus 130, now down to plus 125. Against Zalatoris.
I think I'm just going to stick with that Palmer against Cameron Smith.
Okay.
At Westgate. I think that will be the one I play. I may take Leishman, even though you will end up with 5 cents better than me, Tim. But
The old closing line value.
I think fading Zalatoris is probably not a bad idea. Just, again, first time in this position. He's in the final group. Again, Justin Rose is not the most intimidating factor with him in the last group, but it's still the final group at Augusta on Saturday in a scenario where Zalatoris has never won on the PGA Tour.
A lot of late night hoops tomorrow. No daytime stuff. Nothing starts till 8:40 Eastern with that ABC game, Lakers in Brooklyn, which, what it could have been. Instead, it's, Kyle Kuzma and company heading into Brooklyn. Only one offshore shop I see has a number. It's Brooklyn laying 12.5 against the Lakers. Utah laying 12.5 against Sacramento. Golden State coming off of a heartbreaking loss, laying 9 against Houston.
Oh, boy.
You want to get involved in that one?
Oh, man.
Especially those on the East Coast.
Have
a couple pops, a couple nightcaps, 10-10 tip time. Golden State and Houston.
That's just mean, that game being out late on a Saturday night.
And my colleagues will be they'll be at least fired up about how this game closed out. But my colleagues who work on the Wizards broadcast, Wizards and Suns at 10:10 Eastern.
Is there a line on Philadelphia at Oklahoma City
yet? Not yet.
Okay, now I'm intrigued to see how high that can get us.
Very.
Again, as we've discussed, Oklahoma City needs 3 wins to get over that season win total. And quite frankly, even though there's a month left in the season, I don't know how to get there, Tim.
Yeah.
I really don't know.
And you do have Jacob DeGrom on the hill tomorrow for your beloved New York Mets. A total of 7.
That first 5's not going to be 4. So I would steer clear of that one. But DeGrom coming off a dominant showing where the Mets bullpen promptly blew it for him, which is no shock at all.
This has been it's been a fun show. Thanks to everyone, Brad and Aaron behind the scenes. Jeff Parles, my man. I'm Tim Murray. Thanks to Brady Cannon, Benjamin Solak, Derek Stevens, and Banks, Darren Banks. Enjoy the Masters tomorrow. This has been the Nightcap on VSiN.